Nice day, isn't it? Is it cooling off? Was it cool when you came in? Yes? Yes? Half of you are asleep and half of you are saying. It's great to have you here. Let me thank, before I get going on the message this morning, let me thank all those who were involved in our consecration, our celebration Sunday last week. A wonderful day for us to celebrate our ministries together and ask people to contribute. And we ask people to do percentage and tithe giving. It's an important thing for us to do around here. And so all those that helped us do that, just a wonderful gift to us, and to thank all those. Secondly, it is an interesting time, isn't it? Today, it's the day after Halloween. It's All Saints Day and All Saints Sunday for us. Yesterday, did you have any funny people show up at your front door? Looking for candy, weren't they? They showed up at your front door. Yesterday, we had a few people come for the afternoon. And it was like 3 to 8 for us here in Schaumburg. So we had some come about 3 o'clock. It got slow. And then all the leaves fell off my tree. And so I had a little time, so I went up to clean out the gutters. I know some of you have probably done that at your house. But I was up there and cleaning out the gutters, and there were some leaves stuck to the roof because of the wet and stuff. I went down and got a broom and was sweeping them off, and some kids came by and said, "Look up there. It's a display for Halloween." I didn't know if they meant I was Frankenstein or werewolf. I don't know. Or to sail off on that broom, right? But it was kind of funny. They thought I was a Halloween exhibit. An interesting thing. Today, you know, we as a Christian church for years have dealt with the culture that we have been part of and put words of God or what God was about in the cultural practices that were in our society. Years ago, Hallows Eve, to talk about the spirits that had died or those things, those who were gone on, or be afraid of certain things. The church said, you know, that shouldn't be what it's all about. Is that there are folks that we do lose, and it is about death and dying, but we ought to reclaim that and say that, and that'll be part of who we are. And say God is part of that as well. Just not fearful stuff. Hence, churches all over the world read the names of those who have died on this Sunday. On All Saints Day or All Saints Sunday. And I want to reflect on that a little bit, but I want to reflect on it by talking about the future, not just the past. Some of you who watch TV quite a bit know there's a new TV show out there called Flash Forward. Has anybody seen that? It's an interesting show. The presupposition, the idea is everybody kind of falls asleep, don't they? They pass out or something, and they see where they will be in 6 months. Would you like that? Interesting thought, isn't it? They see where they will be exactly in 6 months. Now, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking that some of that would be really cool. I would love to be able to sit at my dining room table and say 6 months from now and have the stock report right in front of me, right? 6 months, I want to see where those stocks are. I'd love that, wouldn't you? On the other hand, it may not be so good. What if you saw a vision of yourself 6 months and you're sitting in your doctor's office? You may be there for a simple checkup. You may be there with a friend and nothing's wrong. On the other hand, you may not know what's going on. And to live 6 months thinking what's going to happen in the future when you know that's where you're headed, you know, may make you a little nervous. When we think about what life is about, you know, life is filled with things that are mysterious. If we can predict the future, often we can plan well, right? You would like that. You would like to be able to plan. If you're having a dinner and, you know, six people are coming, that's good. If 15 show up, you're kind of in trouble, aren't you? Because you didn't know the future. But life, that's the way it is. It's mysterious, and we don't know how to plan for it. There are different things that happen to us. You know, to quote a T-shirt, stuff happens, doesn't it? And some of it is really good stuff. Some of it is great, awesome stuff. You know, joys that we have. But sometimes the ball bounces in a different direction. And we have those times in our lives where we hurt, where we have difficulty, where we have pain in our life. Sometimes because that's life. Sometimes it's caused by others. And sometimes we even cause pain ourselves, don't we? We hurt ourselves. But how is it we as a people of God can live in that mystery, if you will? You know, people from a long time ago, they named demons and things. That's how they tried to live with it. How do we live in faith in God in Jesus Christ and look for that joy and that grace even when times are difficult and even when we have loss? Now, in the Old Testament, there are just some wonderful stories. Stories in Scripture about people that we can learn a lot of things from. There's a wonderful story of two brothers, Jacob and Esau. You ever hear of them? They were sons of Isaac and Rebekah. And it's a great story. And there's a lot of stuff to be learned from that. You know, Jacob and Esau were twins. Rebekah was their mother. And when they were born, Esau was born first. And he was hairy, literally. Scripture said he was red and he was hairy. And so he is named Esau as kind of a hairy one. Jacob, when Esau was born, Jacob was hanging on to his heel. And he came out next. And so the one who hangs on, or one who pulls on the heel, or one who pulls the leg, right? You ever know somebody, are you pulling my leg? Right? That's his name. That's what Jacob means. The trickster is who he is. So you have Esau, who's the hairy one. Jacob, who's the trickster in the story. And the story goes like this. Isaac likes Esau. I mean, Isaac's a man's man, if you will. And so he's the favorite of the dad. He's the favorite of the father, Esau. Jacob isn't the man's man. You know, Rebecca likes Jacob. So father likes Esau the best. The mother likes Jacob the best. And what do we got coming? We got a dysfunctional family, don't we? They're going to have trouble. Not just us these days. They're going to have trouble. And especially with Jacob. Jacob is the one that seems to want to set up his future. You know, he's got a plan. Him and Rebekah work together and they have a plan so Jacob can do really well. Because Rebekah wants Jacob to have the best. And part of the story, Esau one day goes out to hunt. He's hunting and he's out there for a long time and he gets really, really hungry. And as he's coming in, Jacob cooks a nice stew. And he takes it out to show Esau. And Esau's starving to death. You know, he's so hungry. And Jacob says, you know, are you hungry? And Esau, I'm starving. And he says, Jacob, can I have some of that? And as a brother, what should you do? Sure, take some. I made it for you. You know, you're my brother, right? But Jacob says, I will give some if you give me your birthright. Now, you know what birthright meant? Two times the inheritance. You got twice as much as the other son. Even the story, and I can't quite figure out Esau here, why he would do this. But Esau says, okay, because if I'm starving to death, what good is my birthright anyway? So he gives him his birthright for this stew. And I'm guessing he's a little ticked off by that. You know? He's my brother. Why didn't he just give me some food? But he didn't do it. Later in the story, and some of us know this story really well. Later in the story, as Isaac gets old, his eyesight is failing him. He can't hear very well. He calls Esau to him and he says, you know, I want to give you my blessing. So you will be the head of the household. You will have the authority and the control over this household. But I need you to do this. Go out, kill an animal, cook something for me, come back. I will eat it and I will give you a blessing. Part of the ritual of what they did. Now Jacob and Rebecca hear that. And Rebecca says, Jacob, you got to do this. You know, go cook something for your dad. Go in and get the blessing from him. So Esau doesn't get it. So you can have it. And Jacob says, well, I don't, you know, Esau's hairy. I don't have hair on my skin. And I can't smell like him. So they put, you get an animal's cloak they put on him so he feels hairy. They put Esau's cloak over him so he smells like Esau. He goes into Isaac, gives him lamb to eat. He eats it, and Jacob gets the blessing. And he's got it made now, doesn't he? He's got twice the inheritance. Who wouldn't want that? He's in charge of the family. Who wouldn't want that? Jacob's planned for his future. He's ready to, you know, he's ready to do it now. He's got it all set. But what happened? Esau says this, you know, there's going to come a time when dad's not with us anymore. And there's going to come a time after that when we quit mourning our father, respecting who he is. And when that comes, I will kill Jacob. I will kill Jacob. I mean, Jacob, the control guy, right? He had it all set, ready to go. Future was set, but it didn't quite work out. So Rebecca tells Jacob, you got to leave. Your brother's going to kill you, you know. And so the story we hear today is Jacob has left. He's left his mother. He's left his father. He's left all his family. He's left all that stuff he had. You know, he's left all those dreams he had. He's by himself in the wilderness because he wanted so much. Because he tried to get so much. He's broken because of what he did. And perhaps what others did to him as well. And so we see him in the wilderness, and all he's got is a stone to put his head on. A stone for a pillow. He goes to sleep and then he has a dream. And in that dream, that window to heaven opens up. And we know Jacob's ladder, right? We are climbing. Angels are ascending and angels are descending. And he sees right into God, and God speaks to him, and God says, you know, I'm always with you, and don't worry. I will bless you. Think about that. Jacob himself blew it. Jacob himself has lost his family. But God opens a window, shows him the angels of heaven, and says, I'll still be with you. I will still be with you. When we come today, in a little bit, to read some names, we reflect on doors that close, don't we? On times in our life when we have loss. When we have difficulty, and sometimes that difficulty just comes to us. That's the way it is. Life is tough. Sometimes that difficulty comes because we cause it ourselves, just like Jacob did. Or others cause us to have difficulty. You know, that happens. But I believe even in the middle of loss, those times when we struggle and it hurts and it's hard, but if we dare to keep our eyes and our heart open, we can see those windows of God opening to new possibilities and even in ways of love and grace. And I think the real question for us today as we celebrate those we have lost, as we think about losses we have in our life, the question for us is, are our eyes open to see those angels and those times of grace in our life that God wants to show us every day? Are we able to see those angels who are with us, even sitting with us this day? Who, when we have difficulty and loss in our life, would just be glad to sit with us and listen to us and have a cup of coffee with us or email or text or Twitter or call us? They just want to support us. Are we able to see that window and those angels that want to love us? Or are our eyes still on the door that's closed? That's over. Are we able to see that window of God's grace? That sitting in a place like this, or sitting in God's creation, or taking a walk, or even just sitting in your living room, sometime you're just touched by that love and that grace, and you know you're loved, even if it hurts. Are you able to see those kinds of angels, and that way God touches your life and your heart? And are we able to see the angels who have been part of our life, who have given us moments of blessing from God that we did not deserve, but they were given to us anyway? This week, for one day, I had the opportunity to be in Wisconsin. I was sitting on a dock in a small lake, and it was a beautiful day. I mean, it was a little chilly, but the sun was out. And right across the lake, there was this little knob, and the leaves were still hanging on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the browns and the yellows and just a touch of orange. There was some pine mixed into it, and the water was calm. I mean, it was, and I saw the setting of the sun over that. It was an awesome, you know, half hour that I had. But as I sat there, why, I'm not sure, but I remember Dad, who died in 1992. And Dad always wanted, as I watched the leaves, every fall, Dad would come to us and said, we need to go down into the hills, is what he said. The hills of southern Ohio, to see his old home place. But he loved to see the leaves. And I remember driving with him in the old Ford we had. I remember going into the places and picnicking with him and seeing the leaves. And as I sat there, I just got sad. Because I missed that. I missed that. But as I thought about that, and as I remembered him, I remembered the picnics, and I remembered his laugh. I hadn't remembered that for a long time. I remembered his quietness. I remembered, you know, him driving down into the hills. I remember some talks we had. I remember him teaching me how to hunt and do some things in the woods. I remember him saying words he should not have said after he didn't get the fish that he hooked. Do you know what I mean? I remember that, and it made me smile, and it was a blessing. It was an angel that blessed me in my past. It made me sad, but it was a blessing as I remember. And as we sit here today, and all of us, I think, might remember somebody. Even if we don't have a name read, all of us might remember somebody. I think the biggest question for us who are still here in this place, in this time, on this day, is to say, is it enough? Has your life been enough? Has your life been enough? You know, my first answer is no. Lord, I would like 200 more years of times when I could play basketball like a 20-year-old. How about that? Wouldn't you like that? And some of you are around 20 saying, oh, yeah, that's right. But wouldn't you like, in fact, Lord, I'd like 250 more years. How about that? I would love that. I'm not saying, you know, I want more life. I keep working at it. I'm trying to eat what the doctor tells me to eat because I'm an exercise. I want that life. But then I think about the 50-odd years I've had and the blessings of my father and mother and my brother, even though he died young. The blessings of his daughter, my niece, and be able to see my grandnieces for a little while and play with them. The blessings of my wife and my three sons. The blessings of being able to serve as a pastor in four churches. The blessings of being with some of you in joyous times and even difficult times. The blessings of being able to fish when I like to sometimes. And then I say, God, it's been enough. I've had more blessings than I could even imagine. 40 years ago, I never would have thought what I had today. So it's been enough. It's been enough. I think when we, in our hearts and in our faith, live there, where we're still working at it, we're still striving, we're still trying to stay healthy as best we can, and serving God and loving others and enjoying the fullness of life, but still say, Lord, I've been blessed and it's been enough. So if today is my day, it's been enough. When we can live in that place, I think we see the angels. I think we can see the angels. And we can live in the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. And not be stuck on the door, but see those windows that continue to open to strengthen us in love and grace. Let's bow for prayer. Most loving God, we thank you for the gifts you give us this day. Especially we thank you for those whom we are about to name. They were so important in our life. They showed us your love and grace in different ways. They provided us a way of living in the fullness of the creation that you have given us. So touch each of our hearts this day as we read these names, as we remember those, our loved ones, and strengthen us in the ways of grace. We might continue to move on to those windows of hope and possibility. All of this we pray in Jesus' name. Jerry, step up here. At this time, we'll have the reading of those we have lost who have passed on in this last year. Henrietta Barber. Georgia Bucknett. Stephen Beck, Vicky Burko, Wayne Blackburn, Gary Bruner, Ann Baroker, Susan Darmathal, Darby Max Dingledine, Frank Dingledine, June Meacham, Calvin Meyer, Barbara Miller, Patricia Orlick, Gene Ozowski. David Parkhurst. Susanna Raffaelli. Leanne Ranieri. Lorraine Schiavone. Frank Smolinski. Larry Stalick. Don Strobel. Mildred Strong. Susan Strong. Karen Sullivan. Joyce Tolinar. June Cunningham Wanner. Karen Wilkes. Melvin Wilkes. Herman Zelk. Barbara Martin. And Penny Williams. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of those who have been with us, who are no longer with us this day. We thank you for what they did for us, who they were for us, and the part of us that comes from them. Now bless each in their passing and continue to bless us in our living. In Jesus' name, amen.